Well, family life can be complicated, can't it? I would think that for all of us this morning, there are aspects of family life that can best be described as complicated. Now, for some, it's far more dysfunctional than that. For some, very blessed families, maybe some of that stuff doesn't come too close. But for most of us, there are aspects of family life which are complicated. And then we look around the church family, which we're all part of this morning, all included, and even within our church family, we can say with a smile on our face and with much love that this family life is sometimes complicated, isn't it? Because we're all different, we're all people, we've all got different experiences, different opinions, different, even within the context of our faith, within those 11 articles of faith that we most of us subscribe to, even within those there can be differences of emphasis or differences of opinion. Jesus had had a complicated family life. I'm not sure we ever give that very much thought. And if you just think about Jesus and his earthly family, it's complicated before he's even born. We have angels coming to talk to Mary. We've got Mary who's engaged but not married. We've got Mary who's pregnant but not married. We've got Joseph. What does he do? What does he not do? Before Jesus is even born, there is gossip and scandal and rumor. And I would think some of those gossips and some of those questions that would be asked, that I reckon that they would have followed Mary for most of her life. The questions about Jesus's parentage and what happened. But it's not just that, is it? Then of course, there's the whole escaping to Egypt and life as a refugee that Jesus experiences as a child. And then settling in Nazareth and how all that comes to be. And then even in the apparent obscurity of just living a quiet life in Nazareth, working in the family business for a few years, we learn from the Gospels that there are other brothers, other members of the family. And within any family where there are siblings, there's always the occasional moment. So I'm told it doesn't happen in our house. But and then there are those insights in the Gospels that we get into Jesus' family life. Mark chapter 3. We're going to jump around the Gospels a bit this morning. So if you want to keep a passage open, Matthew 5. But here's a couple of verses from Mark 3. Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." Anyone ever had that experience where your family decided to take charge? Those of you who are perhaps have got grown-up children might know something of that experience, when you have the moments where the son or the daughter know best, or know when it's time for dad to sit down and stop talking, or whatever it might be. And so Jesus' family come to take charge of him, as if anyone can take charge of Jesus. Because they don't understand him, he's misunderstood. Matthew 12, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And we can read that with our Western eyes and think, you know, that's a bit disrespectful, isn't it? to say, well, you know, they're outside, but I'm going to stay in here. But what Jesus is really saying is that inclusion in his family is for all those who will follow him. I'm quite sure that he went and dealt with his family too. But he wanted to make the broader point. It wasn't like the family have come to claim him so they could go and sort him out. But actually Jesus was doing something different. Jesus was opening the family of God to everybody. And this is important because wherever you are in terms of earthly family today, past or present, Jesus comes to make his family completely open to all of us. Whoever follows me, says Jesus, is like my family, like my close family. But his family didn't always understand. So Jesus misunderstood in the family. Mary, she had some special insights into him. Luke 2, after Jesus was born and Mary and Joseph presented him at the temple. And Simeon prophesies over Jesus. Simeon blessed them, it says in Luke 2, and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. So right from infancy, Mary knows that something of deep sorrow will accompany her parenting journey. Some of you know a bit about that too. But Mary has some insights. John 2, wedding at Cana. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples also invited. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. But his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. She doesn't quite know what's going to happen, but she knows that he can do something. Jesus isn't disrespectful to his earthly family, but he is focused on his mission, which is to make a family out of all of us and for all of us. Indeed, even hanging on the cross, Jesus ensures for Mary's provision. John 19. Jesus saw his mother there and a disciple whom he loved standing by, and he said to her, woman, here is your son, and to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So even towards the end of his earthly life, Jesus ensures for his mother's care and provision. And perhaps then the greatest description of life in the kingdom of God or the family of God is found in this chapter, Matthew 5, in the passage of Jesus' teaching that we know as the Beatitudes. It's really, I was thinking what passage of scripture best describes life in the family of God. And you could go to Paul and read about how the church should or shouldn't be. But really, these statements from Jesus, they kind of cap, for me at least, they capture it. This is what life in the family of God is about. These are the characteristics. This is the hallmark of those who belong in God's family. And if you've got them open, just follow them through as I read them through. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Nothing in that passage about fathers, mothers, brothers and sisters, but everything about the hallmark of belonging in the kingdom of God. And it begins by our recognition of our own spiritual poverty. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. Realize that they need, that we need a savior. God blesses those who mourn. In every respect of that, but specifically in the Beatitudes, God blesses those who are mournful over their sinful state, those who are sorry for who they are and recognize their need of salvation. Humility, desiring for justice and righteousness, mercy. Because we are people who are shown mercy, aren't we? God blesses those whose hearts are pure, who desire after the things of God. God blesses those who work for peace. Peace in the New Testament, more than just no conflict, but wholeness. This is the family of God that takes out the message of peace, of wholeness, of shalom into a world where people don't have peace, well-being. These are not the qualities you need to have before you can join. They are the hallmarks of belonging. Jesus' own family didn't always understand him. His friends didn't always understand him. And people still don't always understand him. But when people encounter those who bear the marks of the Jesus-shaped life, the hallmarks of the kingdom, there they encounter the provocative life. Jesus said in John chapter 13, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Well, today on this self-denial altar service Sunday, we can demonstrate something of our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ through our monetary giving in a self-denial altar service. And we're going to do that in just a moment. But before we do that, take the time to ensure that your place in God's kingdom is secure and you feel at peace about that. It begins by recognizing your need of him. It begins by recognizing your need for inclusion in this messed up, dysfunctional group of human beings called the church. We are not the society of the sorted. We are the community of the broken. We recognize that, then that's what we take out. But we can still take out a message of wholeness. So a couple of things for you to ponder on today as we bring our monetary gifts, and importantly that we do. But more important is your own sense of belonging in God's family. And whatever your earthly family situation has been like, Jesus comes to make a family for you and me to belong to. So you're included this day. And this message is for you, wherever you are. May the Lord bless you.